with health, we are now going to look at asthma, because this past Tuesday, the 3rd of May, was World Asthma Day, a day meant to raise awareness about the condition and how individuals suffering can best prepare themselves, as the condition cannot be cured. And so to speak about asthma, we're joined by resident GP and a CEO of Proactive Health Solutions, Dr. Fundile Nyathi. Dr. Nyathi, good morning. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Good morning, Cooks, and good morning to all your listeners.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show. So when we speak about asthma, what is asthma?
Well, asthma is actually a chronic condition, that affects people of all ages. And it's a condition that is as a result of the narrowing of the openings of the airways, as a result of three issues. One, the muscles around the airways, they constrict, right? So there are muscles that make the airways to open and the airways to close, depending on situation. So in asthma, the people who have asthma, those muscles around those tubes, they close up. Number two, the lining of those tubes gets to be inflamed, that is, swollen. And as a result of the swelling, then you have, some mucus being produced. Three, there's what we call hyper-responsiveness. That is, just inhaling cold air may actually trigger that closing of the airway. So there's three things that happen, but essentially it's the narrowing of the airways, it's a chronic problem, and it can affect people of all ages, and in some instances people die from the asthma attacks.
Mm-hmm. Is asthma hereditary?
Well, from a causation point of view, this is one area that has not yet been cleared, but there's certainly a connection that is at a genetic level. So it's a combination of genetic and environmental factors. But certainly people, if you've got a blood relative who is asthmatic, like your mom, your chances of being asthmatic is much higher, especially if you suffer from what we call hypersensitivity, which is a situation where, about 5 to 10% of the population, they've got an immune system that is very, very sensitive. We call it hypersensitive, where, exposure to, issues in the environment can actually trigger, symptoms. So people with hypersensitivity, they tend to have a problem of asthma as one of the presenting factors. So yes, hereditary plays a role, but also environmental factors do play a role.
Mm.
But there's quite a number of triggers, though, that I think are important for people to know about, if they are asthmatic.
Yes.
Things like the airborne allergens, like the pollen, from the trees, from the grass, the dust mites, especially in people who've got carpets in their rooms, in their bedrooms, mold spores, and pet dander, and also some people may be triggered by exercise or inhaling cold air, or when they are stressed. And in some instances, when people, eat certain foods or beverages with certain preservatives, like sulfites, they may also get, a triggering of asthma. And also something I think we spoke about a few weeks ago, gastroesophageal reflux disease, it may also trigger an asthmatic attack. So whilst the causes of asthma are not very clear, but genetics play a big role, but we're very clear about what the triggers are.
Mm-hmm. So we often hear that asthma cannot be cured, but can it be less severe? So, for instance, in my family, my younger brother was born asthmatic. It used to be quite bad when he was young. He needed a nebulizer. He used to take, I think, two different kinds of sort of cough syrups or syrups for his chest. Now that he's older, he doesn't seem to have that issue anymore. Does that mean his asthma has been cured, or that it's less severe?
Well, I think let's start with the part of choring. As I said, asthma, it's a chronic condition. It cannot be cured. But what we know, especially for those people who are asthmatic in childhood, they may sort of outgrow it by the time they reach around 13 or 14, you know, they get to be teenagers. It may become less severe or it can be gone. But that doesn't mean it's gone for good, because some of those people, when they are adults, maybe in their 40s, you know, they may actually get the asthma, you know, symptoms back. So one can never say it is cured, but certainly there is a trend that in people, especially the young ones, it may get better with time, but it may come back later in life.
And so when it comes back later in life, would it have been triggered by something? Would it, or is that's just how the, because it is a chronic condition, that's just how it progresses? Is it almost guaranteed that it will come back?
It's not guaranteed that it will come back, but, you know, I mentioned the triggers. Now, if, for example, let's say you had outgrown it, it's less severe or the symptoms are not there, and then you work in an environment, you know, where there's a lot of dust or there's a lot of chemical fumes, then those can actually result in the asthma coming back, you know. So, yes, triggers can actually bring it back depending on what you are exposed to. And what we are seeing, you know, is that the whole issue of urbanization, you know, people moving from rural to the urban centers that are much more polluted. The quality of air, for example, here in Gauteng, you know, is actually quite bad. So those communities that are staying, for example, next to the mine dumps, you know, on windy days, some of the dust that comes from that can actually, you know, trigger, you know, the asthma amongst people who live in those neighboring communities. So, yes, the quality of the air, the levels of pollution within the house and also outside can actually trigger a relapse of this condition.
And so if the issue is air quality, how then do you ensure that you don't trigger yourself? Would it then be advisable for people who are asthma sufferers to wear masks? I mean, that is kind of, if you look at a country like China, because of the issue with air quality, masks are pretty normal. People wear masks all year round. Would that be a solution? Because there is a reality that our air quality is deteriorating.
Yes. Well, look, I keep on going back to this issue of triggers. So we normally advise asthma sufferers to try and identify triggers. If, you know, they are able to avoid those, then they do so. So use of masks, for example, you know, in some of the cities in places like China, even India, the quality of air is quite bad, and people who are asthma sufferers in those places, they actually get triggered a lot. And so, yes, by using, you know, masks like the N95, you can be able to reduce the chances of that attack. Even in workplaces where there's a lot of pollution, using masks like those would also be helpful. But it's important that if you are an asthmatic, that you work very closely with your primary care doctor, because there are certain medications that we can give, depending obviously on the frequency and the severity of the attacks. There are medications that we can give, you know, that can actually make your airways less responsive to external allergens. You know, so there are inhaled steroids, for example, that we can give. Sometimes these inhaled steroids can actually be combined with some of the meds to relax the muscles of the airways. So depending on your severity, then your doctor may prescribe preventative kind of medication so that you don't always get an attack when you are exposed to those known triggers.
Mm. When is an attack a cause for concern, when someone potentially needs medical care, they need to be taken to an emergency room?
Well, somebody is a non-asthmatic and there's rapid worsening of the symptoms, that is the shortness of breath or wheezing, and you are trying to use what you call quick relief inhalers, Ventolin or Ventis, you know, you're trying to use those and there is no relief. You get shortness of breath during minimal physical activity. Those three should actually alert you to, you know, seeking emergency help, because when that is not attended to, the attack can become quite severe. In the South African situation, you know, we are now rated in the world as number 5 in terms of the number of people who are dying per year from asthma attacks. So it is something that is therefore very serious, that you don't ignore the worsening of the symptoms of asthma. You don't ignore the fact that you have used the quick relief spray and nothing has happened. You don't ignore the fact that you were triggered by exercise and you are very tight, because if you do, you may actually get to a point where you may lose your life if you don't get the necessary help on time.
The theme for this year for World Asthma Day was closing the gap in asthma care. What does this mean globally, but specifically, what does that mean in the South African context? What is the gap in asthma care?
Well, you know, when one looks at the prevalence of asthma across the world, there are two things that have been found. That one, there is an underdiagnosis of asthma. So very few, you know, people, or there are a number of people who are asthmatic but are not diagnosed as asthmatic and therefore do not get the necessary care from the doctors. So underdiagnosis is a problem. But also undertreatment. You know, people are diagnosed to be asthmatic, but the treatment that they're getting from their doctors isn't enough to ensure control of the condition. And generally, the levels of awareness are low. So in the low to middle income countries like South Africa, we have therefore a higher level of people who are not aware of what asthma is, how it presents, and sometimes even doctors are reluctant to put that diagnosis because it's a, you know, it's a chronic condition. So you find that some people may just be treated as people who've got an ordinary bronchitis, you know, given cough mixtures, and not treated to address the three problems that I mentioned around the airways. And so those people may then have recurrence and sometimes may even worsen. So this closing the gap in care is really about saying increasing awareness about the condition, is about getting people diagnosed early, and also ensuring that they get optimal treatment from people who are competent in managing those conditions. So if, for example, as a GP, the condition is difficult to manage or is even almost like resistant to management, mm-hmm. I need to refer to a pulmonologist who are much more competent in the treatment of those conditions. So early diagnosis, optimal care, and referral to the right level of care, very important.
In terms of treatments like medications, are those very accessible and affordable in South Africa?
Well, look, asthma treatment can be quite expensive. Now we've got about 83% of our people in South Africa making use of the public healthcare system, and only about 17% that use the private healthcare system that is largely funded by medical aid. So, you know, if you access public healthcare system, you will get treatment, and the treatment is not, you know, you don't have to pay a lot of money. But the challenge is that, you know, when you use public healthcare system, the waiting times can be a problem, and sometimes availability of the right medication may be a problem, whereby some medicines may be out of stock. But, you know, this is where we talk about health inequity in South Africa. If you are in the private sector, then and you are funded through a medical aid, you may be able to get all the treatments necessary to control the condition. So these are the things that I think at a government level need to be addressed to ensure that at all levels of care, from primary health care to secondary to tertiary care, you know, people are given optimal treatment and have got access. And in most of these low to middle income countries, including South Africa, sometimes access to appropriate treatment is a challenge.
Hmm. Do non-medical interventions like humidifiers, like vaporizers, do those make any difference in the treatment or the management of asthma?
Well, let me put it this way. In the treatment of asthma, we can use tablets, which obviously go throughout the body, you know, transported by blood. We can use inhalers. Sometimes we use what we call nebulizers, it's almost like steaming, but then there are chemicals that are put in the medicines there. So that's part of what is used, especially for children and sometimes even adults. So, but there are other, inhalers that are using natural medicines. So sometimes there is benefit to doing that. But I would only encourage a patient to do that if they know the ingredients and those things have been found to have some beneficial effect. Well, sometimes we use things and steam with things and inhale things that may actually cause problems. So it is important that whatever measure you are using, you first discuss it with your treating doctor to make sure that you do not worsen the situation.
In terms of exercise, because sometimes exercise can seem to be a trigger of asthma, is it advisable for people who are living with asthma to do sort of strenuous cardio type exercise, or is it for them to find alternative forms of exercise?
Look, the benefits of exercise in general to, you know, in terms of physical and mental health, there's a lot of benefits. So in a situation where one knows that they are triggered by exercise, it's important that, again, they talk to their treating doctor, because through use of preventative medication or prophylactic medication, which is the inhalers that have got steroids, and some bronchodilators, it is possible to participate in physical activity, even rigorous physical activity, as long as you are using the right kind of dosage that can help you, so that your airways do not get easily triggered by chemicals that are released during exercise.
And just to wrap, I know you said care is quite important, getting the right kind of care. Would you start with your GP for that, or would you go to a specialist, like you were saying, a pulmonologist, for instance?
Pulmonologist,
yes.
Look, I'm a qualified family physician, and one of the things that are important in any health system is that, people should start at a primary care, and then be referred appropriately. One of the things that are driving the high levels of cost in South Africa is the fact that people, just assume that, okay, I've got this chest problem, let me just jump to a pulmonologist. It's much more expensive, and it is not necessary. So it's important to work with your family doctor who knows your history, and then that family doctor should be able to refer you appropriately depending on how you respond to treatment that you are getting. So the idea that just jump to a pediatrician or a pulmonologist, is actually a waste of resources, and it's something that is quite rife in South Africa. And with NHI coming, it's something that's going to come to an end. So it's important to make use of your family doctor. He or she knows you better, and they should be able to refer depending on the assessment that they give. Obviously, if it's an emergency, then you go to the emergency room, whether it's public or private.
Mm. Dr. Nyathi, always a pleasure chatting to you. Thank you so much for your time this morning. That's our resident GP and the CEO of Proactive Health Solutions, Dr. Fundile Nyathi.